Do we have Suleiman? It appears we are having some issues with our phone lines to both Durban and Accra. But as soon as we reconnect with our panelists, we will continue our discussion of the migrant crisis, especially those migrants from sub-Saharan Africa trying to get their way into Europe, looking either fleeing conflict or poverty or whatever. Meanwhile, the unprecedented numbers of migrants from sub-Saharan Africa say they are stranded on Africa's Mediterranean coastal countries of Algeria, Morocco, and Libya. The International Organization for Migration, IOM, acknowledges the plight of these migrants is not a new crisis. For those in Libya, they say most left their home countries to work there when things were still okay. And for others, IOM says the route westward to Spain has been a heavily traveled one for decades. Now hundreds of thousands of migrants say they are stranded in these countries, living in abandoned buildings, begging for money to complete their journey to Europe. IOM spokesperson Itaya Viriri says those migrants stranded in Morocco have a different set of circumstances from those in Libya. My colleague Kim Lewis talked to him.
Well, the particular numbers that we're talking of in Libya, these are people who were there even before Gaddafi was toppled. As you know, before Gaddafi was removed from power, there was a significant number of, that I would say several hundred thousand of sub-Saharan Africans who made their living in Libya because, you know, there was a lot of work in the oil sector and a lot of construction that was going on. And to the effect that, in fact, when the conflict began and the International Organization for Migration was one of the agencies that actually repatriated several thousands of sub-Saharan Africans who wanted to go home, you know, to places like Cameroon, Chad, and quite a few countries in West Africa. So the numbers are not just new arrivals, but people who have been there for a long time, who now find that the situation in Libya is quite untenable. Security-wise, it's very dangerous for them. And the option that they're taking now is to try and continue on to Europe instead of maybe going back to their countries of origin.
Now, these are people that also applies to Morocco as well.
Indeed, yes. Yes. The same conditions that I just referred to in terms of access to employment would prevail in quite a number of North African countries. But until now, in places like Libya, they'd be happy to stay there and not consider going on to Europe. Morocco is slightly different in that it's obviously certainly more at peace for people who are waiting to go to Europe.
Those migrants that are in Morocco that are from sub-Saharan Africa, they say that they're invisible, that they have just been ignored and they're pretty much stuck there. They can't get home, they can't get to Europe, and they can't get employment there. So what will the country do about that?
The IOM has a program that can assist people voluntarily do so. But I presume in this case, if they want to go to Europe, because Morocco is not in the same situation as Libya, that there's a governing authority, you know, they are probably not allowing them to get onto boats the same way that is happening in Libya, where there's no real government in place or a real authority that can stop them getting onto the boat. So I think that's the main difference. But I would also say that in many cases, the dynamics are very different, and therefore you have a situation that maybe they might feel that they're ignored because if everyone focuses on Libya, the fact that the authority there is not stopping people trying to get onto the boat and trying to get to Europe.
So what does the future hold then for those migrants who they say they're stranded in Morocco?
One thing definitely that we can, as the International Organization for Migration, say is that if they are really, you know, desperately need to go back home, the IOM does provide a service where they get support to go back. And also in many cases, they get reintegration support. Our office in Rabat should be able to assist them with that. And we experience across many countries where we can certainly, over a period of time, assist large numbers to return. As I said, we did that in Libya, where several thousand sub-Saharan Africans were assisted to return home. But if they want to continue on to Europe, we don't have a facility to help them do that. But the main thing is that we can certainly help them make right choices and we give them the information on what they need to do. And then it's up to them to decide whether they want to go back home or they want to continue on to Europe.
That was IOM spokesperson Itai Viriri. He spoke with my colleague Kim Lewis while traveling through Europe. And now I understand we have our panelists back online after going through this task of getting phone lines in Africa working properly. And as I said, we have Scroffrey Nana Yao Eboah, a media analyst, joining us from Accra. and regular panelist Suleiman Mugula is back with us now. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting
Thank
us.
You.
Yeah, I hope you heard that brief report from my colleague talking about the plight of these migrants. Now, for our listeners, as the world watches hundreds of thousands of Syrians crossing into Europe from the east, territories north of Sahara are filling with comparable numbers of Africans determined to make their own entrance. Migrants from more than a dozen African nations are descending on Morocco, Algeria, and Libya in unprecedented numbers, sleeping in abandoned apartments, derelict warehouses, and even on city streets. Thousands are living in fast-expanding forest encampments, surviving off garbage and stolen water. Now, let's take that from there. Let me begin in Accra to Mr. Yeboah there. This must be a dire situation for some of these guys. Having trouble getting hearing you correctly because of the poor network. Let's try to call you again and then we'll continue. But meanwhile, let me talk to Suleiman. We're going to call you back in a moment. Suleiman, we had difficulty hearing our brother from Accra. People driven to this extent of having to take these risks speaks of a lot of problems on the continent, doesn't it?
No doubt about it. Our people who are moving, they are moving well aware of the problems ahead. They know the consequences. Since the beginning of this year, the boats have been drowning around Lampedusa, around Libya. The estimate is around 2,600 drowned so far. They know some of them go through hardship to go through the deserts. They are abused. Actually, it is abuse. It's a crime against humanity what is happening right now. To put it simple, we have got a silent crisis on the continent. People know the difficulties, but that one tells us how difficult, how worse the push factors have become. The continent has become unbearable. Young people are moving not because they want to go, but they prefer to die in dignity over the seas than dying in shame in their particular country. It is very shameful. It is a crisis, and it is increasing. It is not stopping. What is more surprising and what is more disturbing, Douglas, is that this is not only an Africa towards Europe migration. We also have an internal migration within the continent itself. South Africa at the moment is facing, and it has been facing, an influx of immigrants again from the African continent. Name any country. If you go down Johannesburg, you'll find Johannesburg inundated with immigrants from African countries, from Zimbabwe, Swaziland, Zambia, DRC, you continue Uganda, up to Eritrea and Somalia, Ethiopia, all the part of them are flocking into South Africa. So it is a double crisis, both not only for the European countries, but also for the African countries whose economies are doing well.
I see. Let me see if we have our other panelists online now. Do we have him? I don't think we don't have him yet. Now, Suleiman, as you mentioned, this is a dire situation. What, if anything, are governments doing to help the situation? I mean, African governments.
Of course, by the fact that people have decided to run away from this particular country, it shows you the attitude of their particular government. You realize, Douglas, ever since the death started, ever since the drowning started in the Mediterranean, no African country has raised a finger to try to help. Number two, people ran away from this African country because there has been failure of governance in these particular countries. What are the push factors? We have got countries which have almost made little progress towards the creation of opportunities in their particular countries. Let's take countries like Eritrea. I mean, if a mere look at the countries which push immigrants to Europe and within Africa, Ethiopia, Somalia, Eritrea, Uganda, Cameroon, Gambia, Chad, Sudan, Southern Sudan, Sudan itself, Central African Republic, DRC, most of these countries are poorly governed. These are countries where we have got dictators. Let's take a country like Uganda. What should make a Ugandan, a young person, to stay in Uganda? For 30 years, the country has had one leader. And within this one